Well, good morning again. Today's lesson is on elders and deacons, and I want to share a few words with you. First of all, let me say that it contains a lot of scripture, and it's on a lot of PowerPoint charts. And these scriptures were the scriptures that were shared between the elders and the deacons and the elder candidates and deacon candidates. And we wanted to take in and share that with you so you would have a little bit of understanding about the things that we're going to ask you to participate in the coming weeks, in the coming week, I should say. And then also as we install these new elders and deacons on the 7th of February. I realize that at my age, I'm not able to remember a whole lot, but hopefully I can still read. So there'll be a lot of this, again, in writing. So bear with me as I read these words to you. And I think the important thing is that God's word is superior to man. Today, the elders are presenting the names of men who were recommended by the members of this congregation and reviewed with much prayer and discussion. These men have undergone a careful and exacting interview process, which God's guidance was sought by the current elders. We're now asking the whole congregation to once again to consider these men in light of scriptures as 1 Timothy 3, Acts 6, 1 Titus 1, Acts 20, and also 1 Peter 5. I'll read a little bit this morning as we had our introduction about the qualifications of deacons, and now I'll take in and address the qualification of the elders. This is a saying that is trustworthy. If someone aspires the office of an overseer, he desires a good work. The overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, and able teacher. Not a drunkard, not violent, but gentle, not contentious, free from the love of money. He must manage his own household well and keep his children in control. And in 1 Titus, it tells us that his children should be believers. So he needs to have his family in control is one of the main thoughts we want to think about. But if someone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he care for God's church? He must not be a recent convert, or he'll become arrogant and fall into punishment that the devil will exact. And he must be well thought of by those who are outside the faith so that they may not fall into a disgrace and be caught by the fire of the devil's trap. What we would ask of the congregation is, in your consideration, should you identify scriptural reasons for a man not to serve, we would ask that you submit your signed concerns in writing with the spiritual reason by which he fails to qualify, then present it to one of the elders by January the 31st. The importance of the congregation being the ones that identify men for consideration to serve is very important. We thank the congregation for your involvement in submitting the names of the men to serve. I think this time we had a really good representation of the congregation presenting, the best that I've ever seen. This indicates your willingness to serve with these people. For elders, we received 6 recommendations. 2 have agreed to serve, 3 have declined to serve at this time, and 1 elder candidate received just 1 recommendation. For our deacons, we have 2 have agreed to serve. One felt he was not ready. Two received only one recommendation, and two were not members of this congregation. The following is a belief and a summation of some of the items discussed with each elder candidate. It's important to also note that in the participation of answering these questions at home and reading this material at home, their wives were greatly involved in this process. Likewise, their wives were present with them when we met with the elder candidates and the deacon candidates, and this is so important. Belief that the Bible is inspired word of God, recorded by man, who were guided by the Holy Scripture. First Timothy 3, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped with every good work. In 2 Peter 1, we read that for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And in Revelation 22, verses 18 through 19, there's a warning and a caution. If anyone adds to them or takes away from them from the words of this book of prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life. So it's important that we be focused on God's word and that we be on the same page with our understanding of Scripture. And that's the case. A belief that no one can be saved outside the church. Also that obedience, which brings one to baptism, is immersion of water for remission of sins. In Acts 4, we read that, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among people by which we must be saved. Then we ask, can anyone be saved outside of the church which Christ built? In Ephesians chapter 4, we read, there is one body, one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. In Colossians 1, we read, and he is the head of the body, the church. Then we ask the question, can one be saved without being immersed in water for remission of sins? And God waited patiently in the days of in the days of Noah, while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes the baptism that now saves you also. The role of women in the church was discussed. And we looked at 1 Corinthians 14, verses 34 through 35 as our reference. Women are not allowed to speak, but must be in submission, as their law says. If they want to inquire about something, they should ask their own husband at home, for it is disgraceful for women to speak in the church. A New Testament discussion about New Testament and the teaching about marriage. We spent a considerable amount of time looking at this and discussing it with the candidates, both elders, deacons, and their wives, because it's the challenge that faces the church today. Marriage is between one naturally born man and one naturally born woman. In Matthew 19, verses 4 through 6, he answered, "Have you not read that from the beginning the Creator made them male and female? And said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother and will be united with his wife, and the two will become one flesh." Further, we read God's position on same-sex marriage, and we look at Jude, the 6th and 7th verse. And the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept an eternal chains under a gloomy and darkness until the judgment of the great day. So also Sodom and Gomorrah and their neighboring towns, since they indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desires in ways similar to those angels, are now displayed as an example by the suffering and the punishment of eternal fire. Also, we had a discussion about the condition of homosexuals and their relationships. It's important to remember when we talk about these things that we approach it from a standpoint of love and concern for the individual, and that they would become in accordance with God's word. We looked at Leviticus 18, Romans 1, 1 Corinthians 6. I'll read from you from Romans, the first chapter. And they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshiped and served the Creator rather than the creation. And they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshiped and served creation rather than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Amen. And then for this reason, God gave them over to dishonorable passions. For their women exchanged their natural sexual relations for unnatural ones, and likewise the men also abandoned natural relationships with women and were inflamed in their passions for one another. And further it says, and men committed shameless acts with men and received in themselves the due penalty for this error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do what should not be done. The discussion also was around remarriage that results in adultery. And we looked at scriptures such as Romans 7, Matthew 5, and 1 Corinthians. In Romans 7, we read that so then, if she's joined to another man while her husband is alive, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law. And if she is joined with another man, she is not an adulteress. We had a large discussion about sin and forgiveness and the fact that we need to be a forgiving and loving congregation. And some of the scriptures that come to mind, we've been taught all our lives. For in Matthew 6:14-15, says, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, your heavenly Father will also not forgive you. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. And then we read about how members of the large church should respond to a brother or sister that's caught up in sin. And this is all focused upon the fact of a love for that brother or that sister. And we must have that love for the brothers and sisters. And in order to do that, we must know our brothers and sisters. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgressions, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch, lest you be tempted. And if they repent, we should forgive them, love them, and restore them into the church. If a brother or sister wrongs you, what should you do? In Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17, these scriptures are important for us in our daily lives. If your brother sins against you, go tell him his fault, between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. You notice that it didn't say, go gossip to somebody about your brother. It doesn't say, go put it on Facebook, but it tells you to get up and have courage and go talk to that brother or sister, trying to make them aware of the situation that you would consider to be offending you. But if he doesn't listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. And if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church, and let him be with you as a Gentile or a tax collector. This brings us to the subject of discipline. And discipline, we realize, is a responsibility placed upon the church by the writers of the New Testament to make every effort to see that each one gets to enjoy eternity and heaven together. And that's what everyone's goal is, and we should make sure we do that for those in the church and also reach out to those outside of the church. The scripture teaches that Christians are to live a lifestyle that brings glory to God. In Matthew 5:16, when one lives in a manner that is inconsistent with those biblical standards, church discipline may be exercised as found in the scriptures, Matthew 18, Romans 16, and Corinthians 5. There are several steps that show love and patience, but if one remains unrepentant and in rebellion to the way and the will of the Lord, a last step of withdrawal of the membership fellowship may be. And that's in 1 Corinthians 5 and 2 Thessalonians 3:6. Even that is done with an aim of changing the lifestyle and restoring the fellowship to the congregation. And it's done with much love, much prayer, and much considerations for both the church and for the individual. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and 2 Corinthians chapter 7. A few words about elders. The church organization has Christ as the head of its head, and that's in Colossians 1:18 we read, and is guided by men, by an eldership, the elders, plural, not just one, but a group of elders, are spiritually minded men, are spiritually minded men of the local congregation. Who satisfies the qualifications as stated in 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1. The elders are referred to in the New Testament as overseers, shepherds, bishops, and pastors to help shed light on the duties and responsibilities of these men. And speaking to the elders in Ephesian church, Paul said, "Pay careful attention to yourselves and your flock, in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood." Acts 20:28. Peter asked the elders to shepherd the flock that is among you, exercising oversight in 1 Peter 5. The elders have the responsibility for the spiritual care and the well-being of every soul of the congregation. In Thessalonians 5, verse 12, Paul says, "Respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord." The Hebrew writer says in Hebrew 13, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your soul as those who will give account." Now I want to introduce the elder candidates and their families. First is Sean Sanford and his wife Diane. Sean, would you please stand? The Sanders have raised their family as active members of the League City Church of Christ since May of 2011. Sean has served as an education and a youth deacon and assisted in Bible Bowl, and he has taught adult Bible classes as he was doing this morning. Sean is active in helping members in times of needs, and we remember the times during Harvey. Sean and Diane have been married for 26 years, and Diane fully supports Sean serving as an elder. Thank you, Sean. The next is for an elder is Erwin Vitito and his wife, Pam, and their children, Cody, Casey, and Jamie Vitito, and sweet Rose Watson, Pam's mom. We miss her very much, and we look forward to being able to worship with Rose. The Vedetos have raised their family as active members in the League City Church of Christ since July of 2006. He has served as a youth deacon in Irwin and Penn, have taught and coordinated Bible Bowl classes for many years. Irwin has taught adult Bible classes, and Irwin is active in helping the members of this congregation. Irwin and Pam have been married 35 years, and Pam fully supports Irwin serving as an elder. And we have a picture of them, Irwin, Pam, and Jamie, and Rose. Irwin will be working with us from home in the early days until this virus gets cleared up because of the need to take care of their families. The deacon candidates, Jeffrey Carroll and his wife, Erica, and their children, Jaden, Jordan, Chasey, and Jonathan. Jeffrey and Erica have been an active members since July of 1994. And prior to, they had a short time where he had to be gone as they were moved away from the congregation. But prior to his leaving, he was serving as a deacon and did a fine job. He and Erica have been active in teaching their youth Bible classes, and they have a strong background in working with children and teaching in public and private schools. Jeffrey will be serving as a youth deacon, and Jeffrey and Erica have been married for 17 years, and Erica fully supports her husband serving as a deacon. C.J. Forrest and his wife, Rachel. C.J., would you stand? And their children, London and Roman and Lincoln. C.J. and Rachel have been active members since January of 2009. C.J. and Rachel have been active in teaching Bible classes, adult classes, youth classes, and CJ also taught our college classes and many adult classes. They are concerned parents closely monitoring the family's Bible study. And sitting down and talking with both of these deacons, it was very evident they were definitely concerned about raising their children as Christian children in a Christian home. CJ will be serving as a youth deacon, and CJ and Rachel have been married for 11 years, and Rachel fully supports CJ serving as a deacon. Thank you, CJ. So I have presented the names to you, the elders and the deacons, and I would now like to close by reminding us of something. To our visitors online, we stand ready to serve you and to assist you in any way. We have established that the Bible is the inspired word of God and that Christ is the head of the church. And the Bible establishes that there is one church and one baptism, and it's served by elders and it's served by deacons. But Christ is the head of the church in all cases. We must be doers of the word. The men that I have identified to you are doers of the word. If we can help you in any way, we want you to come as we stand to sing the invitation song.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood.
There is power, wonderful power in the blood. closing song will be Shine, Jesus, Shine. We will sing the first verse only, and then we will be dismissed in prayer. After this song, you may be seated.